This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our website, it is www.cbcg.org. Let's finalize our series in Was Jesus God? And let's talk about some things that we talked about the other day. And let's see if we can understand a little bit more about Christ, but let's see if we can understand it from the other way around. Let's begin with human beings and work up. Let's go to Psalm the 8th chapter, Psalm 8. And this tells us about how God made man. And God made us for the specific purpose of becoming his sons and daughters. So therefore, when he made mankind in his likeness and after his image, there was a real reason for all of it, you see. And most religions, which are of the world, do not understand that religion is not of God. They don't know why God created man. And of course, then you can throw the atheist in there who believe in evolution and not creation. And even most of those who claim to be theological or theological historians, they don't believe God. They don't believe the word of God. They don't believe the purpose why God has made man. Let me just give you this definition of religion. Now, I'm going to probably make this available, so why don't you go ahead and write in for it, because this is something brand new. But this goes along with the series that I did, Why God Hates Religion. And I got a lot of flack on that from people about why God hates religion. Now, here is Religion Defined, written by Robin Birdsong. Now, that's an interesting name, but also, she is a witch. So, therefore, she believes in religion. However, notice this, what she has written here. Among early pagans, which then were basically those who follow witchcraft, religion was a fact taken for granted, requiring no explanation. And, of course, they worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars, and plants, and wind, and forces, and water, and all this sort of thing. And so that was all taken for granted. And this is where the world is coming back to now. Part of the thing that they want to do is to have people of the earth look upon the earth as a spiritual thing. Therefore, to worship it, and so forth. Now, continuing with her article, there was no need to define religion because religion was a part of every person's being. We have not yet encountered in Egyptian and Babylonian literature a word which corresponds to our word religion. The ancient Hebrews certainly did not possess one, which is good because that tells us that Judaism, which is a religion, is not from the law of Moses. And when in post-biblical times it became necessary to devise one for philosophical and theological nomenclature, that is to define the word, the one chosen was a word which simply indicated faith. And this is from a study of religion by Professor Morris Jastrow, page 130. Then she goes on here. The pentacle in fact and fancy. Now that's a five-pointed star. She talks about that. Summer's path to paganism. Religion is such a complex subject that you may find many conflicting the descriptions and definitions. Here I will discuss how I arrived at my life's path. Perhaps you will find some things here that sound familiar. What is religion? Religion is a set of beliefs which allows us to understand and categorize our world and our place in it. Now, this is strictly from a human point of view. This is not from the Bible or from God's point of view, see. And this is one of the reasons why there is so much confusion as to who and what Jesus was and is, and who and what we are and what we shall be. Contrary to popular dictionary definitions, it does not require us to believe in a supernatural or supernaturally powerful being. But you can, if you wish to, envision it that way. Religion is a spiritual path that allows us to move outside of our day-to-day needs and demands. It provides us with a view of our place in the larger picture. Now, that ties right in with what? Christianity without God, doesn't it? Okay. To see ourselves, our lives, and our endeavors as part of a whole world, a tapestry of people, plans, energy, art, and creation. It shows the entire process of creation, growth, death, and reclaiming of the component parts for the next creation, which then is incarnation, reincarnation. See? It provides a paradigm and a form around and through which we live our lives and understand who and what we are. The W word. The other day I sat down and again tried to define what I am doing. We are talking about beginning our church next year, but a church of what? I am the type that is most comfortable with a clear and complete understanding, so I begin at the beginning. I am a witch. Okay, fine. That means I am also a high priestess. Great. Of what? Oh, yeah. A high priestess of the gods. Okay, so this means that this is a religion. Well, it's a philosophy. I'm not certain it's a religion, but it acts like one. Now you see, that's why people are turned off on religion. Anyone with any sense of truth and honesty just in the world would reject that anyway, because that is making God in your own image. See, now we're here at Psalm 8, but hold your place and let's go to Romans, the first chapter. Because here's what happens when people are blinded and cut off. See? And when they set up their own philosophies, they set up their own religions, they set up their own gods. See, because God made man in such a way that even though men reject the purpose that he made them in the way that he did, they reject the purpose that God has made them in his image and after his likeness. They rejected the proposition that God wants us to be in his kingdom as spirit sons and daughters with the same glory of Jesus Christ. They have rejected the word of God, so they have to create their own, because God put something in man, which is very important, called the spirit of man, which is God put in there so that we can have the receipt of the Holy Spirit of God in our minds, and we become close to God. So every human being has this longing within them, which only the true God can fulfill. Satan comes along and says, I will fulfill this a different way. And that goes all the way back to Genesis 3. Now let's pick it up here in verse 18. For the wrath of God, Romans 1 and verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, that's exactly what religion does. That's how we come up with so many of these different philosophies and views of who is God, what is God, where is God, why is God, why are we here? So if they reject the Word of God and they reject the truth of God and they reject Jesus Christ, then they establish their own righteousness, which is unrighteousness. So they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They count it unrighteous. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, as it should read, for God has showed it to them. Just like we have a couple videos here now. It is our solar system and the Milky Way and our universe and then the one on our solar system. It shows the great creation of God. Now also, they could understand God, who cannot be seen directly by looking up in the sky, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And so anyone who does not believe that God created everything, which even the demons do, by the way, is a fool. They can be understood. You look at all of the complex things that God has created, and that tells you about the mind of God. It tells you the power of God. It tells you the thinking of God. Now, likewise, when you investigate human beings and human reproduction and all of this, this also tells you the power of God. See? It says even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, now this becomes a very important thing, there was a time when everyone knew God. Don't you think right after the flood with Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and God talking directly to them, that they knew God? Of course they did. But by the time we get to the Tower of Babel, they didn't want God. They wanted Nimrod and Semiramis and so forth. And they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now we're going to see how the mind and the heart is darkened. Hold your place here and come to John, the third chapter. And here is a living principle, an absolute living principle that is true. You can apply this to almost anything you would desire in the circumstances surrounding men. Okay? Now let's pick it up here in verse 19. John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. See, and they don't like their evil deeds being exposed as evil. Now, for example, there's a big debate today with the current thing with all of the terrorists and things going on. Islam is a peaceful religion, yet it says that the Muslims are commanded by Allah to kill the infidels wherever they see them under any circumstances and not to let any of them live. You see, now if that is not a hate murder religion, I don't know what it is. But you see, they love that darkness. See, they won't come to the truth. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. reproved or corrected. But he that does the truth or practices the truth comes to the light. Now that's what we do every Sabbath, isn't it? That's what we do every day when we read the Word of God, when we study, when we pray. We're coming to the light of God's Word to teach us. And notice, it is quite different from what we read back there in Romans, the first chapter. They rejected the truth. See. Here, if you do the truth, you're coming to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. And just like the opening prayer, God help us to live our lives in the way that is right, the way that you want it to be, you see. So, let's come back here to Romans, the first chapter now. When they profess themselves to be wise, they become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, verse 21. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So they have all of these weird explanations about who and what God is, what does God look like, and so forth, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And all you have to do is watch any documentary on the religion of Egypt, and there it describes it, of Egypt or Babylon or any of the others, you see. Now, when they reach that point, then God also does something else. So you see, this is why we cannot go to the theology of the religions of this world and the philosophies of men of this world to understand God. And that's why the religion today that is called Christian or known as Christian, mainly the Catholic religion, is not of God, because it started on that very basis, the pagan priests coming together with the unconverted ones who claim to know God, and they created this new religion. Now, when that happens, because they rejected God, what did they do? They had idols, statues, and everything everywhere. Okay? So God intervenes. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Now, does that sound a little bit like the pedophilia problem in the Catholic Church today? See? And in a society today that has been spawned of that kind of thing, no doubt, who changed, or that is, exchanged. They took the Word of God, which is the truth. Jesus said, your word is truth. They took the truth of God and exchanged it for a lie, or changed it into a lie. And that's exactly what has happened with the religions of the world, isn't it? They claim they follow the Bible, but they take the Bible and they devise out of it lying doctrines which are not true. And worshipped and served the created more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, is that true in all of the religions that there are in the world? Talked to a doctor recently, and he was teaching the Chinese in Taiwan to do certain surgical practices. And they are all Taoists. That means that they are ancestor worshippers. They worship their ancestors. And as they were eating in a restaurant, the man who was with them was, you know, just being an ordinary, good, kind American. And the waitress says, you must be Christian because you're so kind. Now, that says all kinds of, that speaks volumes of the whole society over there, doesn't it, you see? That's just a good illustration of what happens when people reject God. Then these same people turn right around and try and define God for us. Well, how can you define God when you've rejected him? And then they try and tell us the nature of Christ and the nature of man, and of course they're wrong on all counts. Now then, when they go that far, then something else happens. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then it lists all the things that take place as a result of that. So let's understand a little bit more about who Jesus was, not from a religious point of view, because you can never understand God from that point of view. You can never understand the true nature of Christ from that point of view. So let's come back to Psalm 8, and let's begin with the understanding a little more of what man is. Now, last time we covered that man was made in the image and likeness of God. He created them. What we are is a reproduction many generations down from Adam and Eve. Whatever God put into Adam and Eve, we have received. How we look, how we think, how we walk and act and breathe and live and reproduce, all of the things of reproduction of genes and chromosomes, God has put within us. Now, that's important to understand when we realize how God views human beings. Now, Psalm 8, and let's pick it up here in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. Now that's why God is called the weak. He has called the rejects of the world, which we all are. I mean, we just need to face it. That's a truth just the way that it is. See. Now verse 3. When I consider your heavens, and that's why we're going to look at these two videos, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why does God even think of men? Why did he even make man? How is God going to save the world? And the Son of Man that you visit him. Now think about it. God not only dwelled with man, beginning with Adam and Eve, then he had to remove them out of the Garden of Eden, as we saw, because of their sin. And even in spite of the sin and in spite of the judgment of them receiving at the time of their sentence for sin, that they received the law of sin and death within them, which Paul fully describes and we've covered in different sermons, God still offers a way of redemption. And that is, the way back to God is through God. And as we saw, of the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. Okay. Now God visits us. Not directly, but with his Spirit. With his Word. And you can say on the Sabbath, God is visiting with us because he puts his spirit wherever those are gathered in his name to truly seek him. Now, you can go to a church, even a church of God, without God. Maybe you've gone to one or two of those services and experienced the depression that happens when you leave there wondering what on earth is going on and where is God, you see. So not everywhere that people proclaim the name of God will God visit or place his presence with his spirit, but wherever it is in truth and humility and according to the word of God. Because God wants us to know him, God wants us to understand him, God wants us to love him, to believe him, to live by his words. So he visits us. He also visits us in the night times, as we have seen. As David said, that he would praise him on his bed in the middle of the night. And as I have mentioned, sometimes some of the greatest and most moving spiritual events in your life will occur when you wake up at night and can't sleep and you have to get up and go pray. Or when you just lay there in bed and think of the greatness of God and his mercy and his love and his kindness and his goodness, you see. And then all of a sudden there is this experience that you have, which is spiritual and emotional, and you'll probably cry and so forth. And you can say that God, through his Spirit, has dealt with you, or, as we could say here, has visited you. Because if God loves you, which he does, and if God loves you, he's concerned for you, which he is, then he is going to do things like that for you to draw you closer to him. Now notice, verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now, being made a little lower than the angels, we need to understand that the Hebrew here is not the Hebrew word for angel, which is malak. M-A-L-A-K, Malak. This word is Elohim. And this is saying that you have made him a little lower than God. Now you see, when we understand that and we comprehend that fact, see, that God made us in his image and his likeness, and he personally formed both Adam and Eve, and placed into them a language where they could, as soon as they were conscious, they could think, they could talk. He put into their genes and chromosomes the whole potential of all the human race. In all their varieties, in all their kinds, God personally designed it. Okay. Now, as we talked about last time concerning genes and chromosomes, which we'll talk about again a little bit here because that is a bit speculative, so I rang my cowbell quite often last week. So just consider the cowbell continuously to be wrong in some of the things we may discuss here. When we understand that God made us a little lower than himself and crowned him with glory and honor, that is because he is over all the earth, that's glorious, gave him honor, and you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet, and that then is a projection of the prophecy as we covered last time there in Hebrews, the second chapter, that we see not yet put all things under his feet, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels, and in that case, that word there is angelos in the Greek, which means angels, for the suffering of death. Okay, now let's come over here to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. begin in verse 14. No, verse 13. Now, because people have rejected God, rejected the creation of God, and know not the purpose of man or the purpose of God, and know not God, therefore human life has become very cheap, as witness and testimony by not only murder and killing, but abortion and all the things connected with that. Now, let's understand something. God made us as human beings to reproduce ourselves, and that is a tremendous gift of God, which is separate than the reproduction of animals in the world. Now, let's understand something. Through the process that God has created, however human life is conceived, it has to be of God one way or the other, even in the case of in vitro fertilization, because they are not dealing with something that they have created. They are dealing with something that God has created and have only made the combination in a laboratory before being put into the body of a woman. It is still, they're using what God has made. So that's something, when you consider how all-powerful this is then. Verse 13, for you have possessed my reins, and you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance, now this is, as I pointed out before, the exact terminology of what a human life is right after conception. It is called substance. And then it is later called an embryo, then it is later called a fetus, then it is later called a child, and then it is born. However, all of these steps from the point of conception are all of God for a human being. So my substance was not hid from you. Now, it's very interesting what they've been able to do scientifically. They have found that, and I don't know how on earth they can get these pictures, but they have these pictures. And it shows the conception of the sperm from the father to the egg of the mother. And when there is the conception and the sperm penetrates the egg, it seals off, and then there is like an electrical light or spark that takes place right at that instant. See? Now that occurs whether it is with a husband and wife who love each other and they want to have a family, or whether it occurs with someone who is out committing fornication and gets pregnant or whatever. The same process takes place because God is no respecter of persons, you see. So God is involved in that new reproduction. Now, remember how we talked last time. When Jesus divested himself to become a pinpoint of life, to be impregnated in one of the eggs of Mary, to become a fleshly human being with God the Father as his father, he had to receive genes from Mary in order to become a fleshly human being. Now, if that were not the case, then it was a false pregnancy. Jesus did not have flesh. Jesus was not a man. Jesus was not born of woman in the sense that he was a human being. See? And then you would believe in the, I think it's called Docetism, D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M, Docetism, where that Jesus really didn't come in the flesh, but what you saw was the appearance of flesh. See? And how that when Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, the Godhead changed forever. And God intended it to. And those that can be found in what is called the mitochondrial genes, which they can trace in all human beings and all parts of the human structure, has mitochondrial genes which only come from the mother. So therefore, Jesus had to receive the genes from his mother of the seed of the woman who was a descendant going clear back to Abraham and David. But I think it's very interesting that in Luke, the third chapter, it shows Mary's genealogy, and it goes all the way back to Adam. So we need to understand that the whole process of human reproduction is far greater than what we have ever thought. And we, as human beings, you see, this is why God lays such great stress and why he has the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. See, because God is in the business of recreating himself, and he wants good, pure, healthy human beings that he can deal with. Now, this is why in a world rejecting God, God in his mercy has what? The second resurrection. Because God's purpose is not going to be defeated by Satan. It is not going to be defeated by the unbelief of men. He is going to fulfill it. See? But it is so profound, you see. So profound. Now let's just finish this section here. Psalm 139, verse 15, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now that's just symbolic for the womb. And also, we can say not only does this apply to David, but could this also be what? A prophecy of Christ. Because Jesus was the son of David. Your eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect. And in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when there was yet none of them. So God set the whole thing in motion. And isn't it, a fantastic thing that one of the most marvelous things that can take place, the recreation of a human life with mother and father, is based upon love. Those which are ill-conceived are based upon lust. In such a very complex situation as we have with all the genes and chromosomes, but yet by a very simple process. And so simple that all human beings can reproduce, and God made it that way because he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, which we have. Okay? So maybe this will help us understand a little bit more about Christ and about God. Okay? Now, let's ask some other questions here. Let's come to 1 Corinthians 15. Again, let's talk about the resurrection. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse Last week, I covered about whether those genes were still in Christ or not, by showing that before he became a human being, he could appear as a man by reducing his glory as he did to Adam, to Eve, to Noah, to so forth. But in full glorified form, flesh cannot live, because that's what God told Moses when Moses said, "Show me your glory," and says, "No man can look upon me and live." After his resurrection, he appeared, as we covered there in Luke 24, with flesh and bone. And he says, "See, a spirit has not flesh and bone as I do," because they were afraid that it was a demon spirit, you see. So he could come back to that manifestation in flesh and bone as a real person. And then how I tied that in with what Christ is doing, we are of his flesh and of his bone, of his bones, which has to do with the crucifixion and has to do with the creation that he is doing, you see. Angels cannot reproduce. When we are resurrected, we would have to conclude this. The law of sin and death is removed from us because that was added to us because of the sin of Adam and Eve. We no longer will have the ability to reproduce ourselves because we won't need to, since we will live forever. That's why Jesus said in the resurrection, they neither are given in marriage or are married, but are as the angels in heaven. So therefore, a counterfeit of that, as you just brought up, on Satan's part, would be for him to possess a human being and then to claim that this was the offspring of an angel or a demon, but it really would not be. So only God can do this. Now this is something. This is something. This helps us understand, number one, God loves us a whole lot more than we've ever thought. God is far more concerned in us as human beings because of being made in his image and having his spirit, you see. And to be then transformed at the resurrection. Okay, now let's ask a question here as we go along. Since God gave the original genes and chromosomes for the purpose that we are made in his likeness and his image, for the purpose that we are going to be the sons and daughters of God, for the purpose that we are going to inherit eternal life as Christ has eternal life, why would not God use the genes and chromosomes that we have? Because that makes us a special individual, doesn't it? Each human being is a separate, distinct creation of God by the combination of genes and chromosomes. Now then, before we get to 1 Corinthians 15, let's come to Hebrews 11 and let's understand something here. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Now, let's understand something concerning genes and chromosomes. You can argue all the day long you want, but what sustains the physical creation except the power and spirit of God? And then let's ask the question, because genes and chromosomes are the things that God uses through conception to create a new human being, why would he not use those also, minus all the sin and defects, in the resurrection? There would be no reason why you wouldn't. That's DNA, RNA, genes and chromosomes. Okay? Hold your place here in Hebrews 11. Boy, we're getting involved here. You better have a lot of bookmarkers, or if you run out of fingers, you can't use your toes. No bare feet in church. James 2. Let's also understand another living principle concerning human life. James 2. James 2 and verse 26, the very last verse. James 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead. See, so special is the creation of humankind that God gave the spirit of man. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, you see. He put in us the spirit of man. We already have with the spirit of man in us something spiritual from God that does not give us eternal life, but that gives us the foundation for the begettal of God's spirit in our mind for human beings so that we can become after the God kind. And this thing that God is reproducing himself is of a greater and more vast scale than we have understood, because it doesn't just apply to those in the church of God. Think big, God's plan and universe.